This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from FEMA Region 5 in the new media production studio hideout designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are, as we start this week 6 of the national lockdown, Facebook banning event planning for certain protests. Facebook releases a COVID-19 symptom map. COVID-19 phishing scams are on the rise. And Microsoft has launched something called the Plasma Bot. I want to welcome you to episode 1440 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, April 20th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. We are live once again at GeekNewsCentral.com/live, live.geekNewsCentral.com. We're live on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Twitch, we're on Mixer, YouTube Live, just about everywhere where I do watch. The chat room is in the Facebook page. Hey there, Ted. How are you? Nice to have you on the show. Curtis, two of my Navy brethren, welcome to the show. Yes, for those of you that are watching, I am sporting a low drag, very nice haircut. There's a little story about that. We'll get into it a little bit in a few minutes about that. But for those of you that are brand new to the show, I want to welcome you to the podcast. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all the great content, get subscribed to the show when you're over on the website. You can also subscribe to the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about during the show today, basically a link to the show notes. It's a one-way email. You're not going to be involved in no chat discussion or nothing like that. But you can also listen to the show on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by using the keyword, the magic keyword, to launch that smart home device and say play the podcast Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or on Slack or even now on our Discord channel. But the most important thing, the best way to stay in touch with me is really all you got to do is email me, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter as well, @geeknews. Really, that's the best way to reach out. I monitor both of those venues, I guess, for a better word. And, of course, you can follow me on Facebook. And for those of you that are watching live, thanks for being here. Hey, Daryl, boy, the Navy buds are coming all in tonight. Outstanding. So anyway, just to catch up here where I would left off, you know, all the partner shows at Geek News Central are linked on the website, and that includes the GNC Week in Review with Kirk Corliss. And Kirk told me today he's going to do his first live show on Friday. So we wish him luck on that. Kirk, prepare. and you just remember, it'll make you a better podcaster because there's no editing, brother. You just have to go and see how it happens. The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain. The Pro Gear site written by my team, the new media show co-host and myself and Rob Greenlee. We're doing 2 shows a week now. Next one will be Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 Pacific. If you want to join us here on Facebook, we'll be doing that again. Podcast Legend Show, which is, kaput. And Podcast Insider, podcastinsider.com is the official Blueberry podcast. But of course, you can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store, whether that be mugs, T-shirts, mouse pads, whatever you do there, we definitely appreciate it. Of course, this show is sponsored by the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that's our good friends over at GoDaddy. And really, what we're doing here is we're saving you money. And right now, everyone needs to save money. Because many of you are not working, or you're worried about the future, what's going to happen. And if you're looking at launching a business, a website, doing some sort of something online, making a pandemic-proof business. This is what everybody needs to do, is have a pandemic-proof business. And when you do that, you really set yourself up for the future. And you can do that and get started over at GoDaddy.com. And again, use all my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, whether it be a 30% off new product purchase coupon, a $499.com or new or transferred domains for new customers. $1 a month economy hosting for the first year includes a free domain. $12 gets you started. $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, again with a free domain. And a free trial of GoDaddy website builder. your choice of personal business or business plus plans. Really, all those codes are there for you to use to save money. They're not expiring. Share them with your friends, family members, people that you know, people that you advise, people that you work with, people that you consult with, people that are looking to get something online. Because when you send them over and they use one of my codes, it's just like doing a cash donation to the show. And we want you to use my codes and share my codes with your friends and family. That's the most important thing. And you are supporting an independent news source who is very opinionated, that is going to tonight talk a little bit and ruffle some feathers. So again, all these deals can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Check them out. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the podcast. Seems like I missed something tonight. I was getting into the groove of things. Maybe not. But let's talk about this new look. Yeah, so Friday, I was feeling a little, how should we say it? I was 2 weeks since my last self haircut, and I said, okay, let's see if I can get it a little tighter. So I started, right here where the sideburn was, got up, you made this nice, what I thought was nice, smooth. I said, okay, now let's do a transition. Well, the barbers, there's a reason I think the barbers start on top and work their way down. I started on the bottom and worked my way up. It really got bad. And I'm like, I'm looking like a shaggy dog with what little hair I have left. And I kind of said, well, let me think about it. And I went ahead and pulled the trigger. I shaved it all off. I got done. And of course, I got my razor out. I had put a fresh blade on it because it was a little dull. And I went and shaved my head. And of course, I missed a few spots on the back that my sister told me about later. But anyway, here I am sporting a bald head. I posted on Facebook. Many of you have seen it already. And if you haven't, not too bad. The dome is pretty round. There's a few dimple marks. But other than that, believe it or not, though, if you shave it every day, it's a lot more maintenance. But if you don't, you let it go 2 or 3 days and then do it, it's not too bad. And the best thing is you just get in the shower and use some soap on top. You don't have to worry about shampoo anymore. But I did order an electric razor. We'll see how that works out. The only thing I got to figure out is how to get rid of the glow from the top of the head and the lights, but we'll get that kind of dialed in. But yes, sporting a new look. But I had to, I've been watching a lot of stuff and really, really trying hard not to be political, because this is not the time to be political about what's going on. But I got a governor here in this state. Oh, she is a do as I say, not as I do. Maybe not her personally, but someone sent me a link today via Messenger, said, hey, go look at this YouTube video. And it was recorded on Sunday, and the guy was about a block from the governor's house near a country club, and the country club was full of people out golfing. Well, the governor has banned golfing in this state. You can't go out in the open fresh air and be in your own car to pull your own bag and golf here, because that's illegal. That's disobeying the stay-at-home order. Yet, a block from her residence, the country club, no one wearing masks, everyone out on the course playing golf. And I thought, yeah, do as I say, not as I do. And I think in the most parts of the country, most of the leadership of those states are they're being reasonable. But here, I don't know. I really question a lot. And we had it was weird. We had snow on Friday, I think. And then Saturday, snow was gone. Sunday was beautiful. My brother-in-law and his boys are working on their deer stand, so they were back in the woods working on that. I was dealing with a whole bunch of other stuff on Sunday and really didn't get out too much. But I had a nice day off. But one thing I keep hearing about is these people that feel the banks have scammed these small businesses on this PPP thing. And of course, I guess Congress is finally going to give some more money. As the House leadership, I guess, is finally going to agree to something. I don't know. But, they were giving all this PPP money to big businesses, and the little businesses really didn't get it. It's typical, right? The banks were trying to maximize their how much money they were going to get in commissions. Instead of writing all these small loans, they were writing the big ones. And So I got to thinking about this whole situation about people saying whether we should be, you know, be able to come off lockdown or, you know, I think the governors are going to decide what we're going to be allowed to do. But if you're saying, here's my opinion, and this is where it resonates from, and people, and I actually deleted it because people were whining so bad about it. I know when I was in the Navy and doing things with DOD, that example, when they had budget issues and they would shut the government down, there would be a group of people called essential, just like now, essential, that would be at work working, even though you weren't guaranteed to get a paycheck. And then there was a group of people that were at home, not working, that were non-essential, that were home and still got paid. And I'm not saying that is the same exact thing going on now, because it isn't a payroll issue. The government still have money to pay their employees. But there's still going to be a segment of state and federal workers who can't come to the office, can't do what they can do because they got old antiquated systems, they don't have VPN, whatever it may be, and they're just at home and they're getting a paycheck. And there's people that are like me and lots of others that are home. We're working. You know, I put in a full day today. And matter of fact, put in work on Saturday too. And, you know, we are getting a paycheck. And I'm not being impacted financially, personally, because of the stay-at-home order. But millions of people are. So I think when someone calls someone stupid for protesting about being locked down or of having to be locked down or not be locked down or some variant thereof, I think they should have to disclose whether or not they're still working, getting a paycheck, or if they are at home and not getting a paycheck. Most everyone's getting an unemployment check. So some people are getting some sort of income, I would hope. I know that in my family, only my daughter's gotten any unemployment money because the state can't seem to get their act together. And here we are 4 weeks and she, you know, had, some of my family members have yet to get an unemployment check because they're just so far behind in processing. So should you disclose if you're getting paid or not when you say we need to stay locked down? For those of us getting paid, staying locked down is inconvenience. We're still making money. We're still able to pay the rent. We're still be able to buy food. But there's other folks, there's millions of people, 22 million people who don't have enough money for rent, don't have enough money for food, don't have enough money for electricity. And when they're saying, hey, this needs to end, then they've got a valid reason for it. They're suffering. So I don't know. And I took a lot of heat back from people when I've said this. And yes, I understand there's state and federal workers that are home, buddies of mine that are federal workers. They're working from home. They're able to do what they need to do. I'm sure it's not as productive, but yet they can go in the office if they have to do something in the office for a short period of time. One guy was saying they were swapping in and out, so there wasn't overlap. So, and they're not, well, some of my buddies are essential, some are not. And so what say you? Should, if people are protesting about on social, if they're protesting on social saying, let us be free, or you're a dummy, you need to stay locked down, should people disclose whether they're getting paid or not? I don't know. Maybe I'm off basis here, but anyway, doesn't matter. This train wreck that we're on, and it is a train wreck right now, a Chinese created train wreck. If things don't start moving soon, if we don't get back on the tracks, it's going to be devastating. You know, I'm surprised there's not a run on banks already for people getting their money out of the banks. You know, oil below zero today. Come on future purchase on futures. This is going to, what's going to happen August, September, October? Are there going to be mass bankruptcies? Are there going to be, breadlines? Are we headed towards that? I think the potential is high. I think the potential is very, very high. But we need to act more quickly in getting people back to work. That's for sure. What say you on Facebook? Michael, hello. How are you? Yes, powder for the sheen. Actually, they've got a cream, Michael, I found on Amazon that you can put on that'll lower the sheen. And Michael said, yes, I was going to say that bald is more maintenance. Yes, I think it's a little more maintenance. Well, you know, if you compare that to having to go to the barbershop, it's, you know, not necessarily the case. So, Kevin, Daryl, everyone, thanks for being here. And again, hope that you'll weigh in on my commentary. Maybe I'm just crazy here and making a comment that we should be disclosing. I bet you there are a lot of more people that are financially hurt are saying, let me go back to work. I can figure out how to do this safely, but let me go back to work. Do I blame them? Not in the least. But anyway, here we are, start of week 6. How you doing? You going stir crazy? I gave my team on Friday. Matter of fact, Barry texts me Thursday night. And we were talking about it. Barry's our CFO. We talked about it on chat a little bit. And Friday morning, as we do a morning meeting with the entire team every morning, and I said to the team, I said, we're going to have an Aloha Friday. And for those of you that ever served and were in the Navy out in Hawaii, Aloha Friday means we're taking the day off. Well, I gave them a half a day off. I did a 12 p.m. secure, basically told the team to close their laptop lids, don't answer the phones, go out, do something, walk. Watch a movie, whatever it may be. So we enacted Aloha Friday. Ted says no one is buying new cars either. You're right, Ted. You ought to see my vehicle's 14,000 miles, 2019. I've had it less than a year. I'm getting emails from the Ford dealership. Hey, we got a 2020 in the lot. Are you ready to upgrade? I'm like, no. I normally drive vehicles till their wheels fall off. So. You know, so the car dealers are working hard to sell stuff too. Hey, David, thanks for joining. Brian, thanks for joining. Got a good group tonight. Thanks, everyone. Just hang out. We'll get into the tech stuff here. Many of you come just for the dialogue at the beginning of the show. I know that. That's cool. But anyway, lots going on. Stay safe. Be healthy. I'll be honest with you. Man, oh, man, I hope they open the gym. I'll go at 2:00 in the morning. Give me a time slot. You know, let me go. We get plenty of sleep, right? That's one thing. As a country, we ought to be like good on sleep. Matter of fact, I've gotten so much sleep that I'm waking up now like, I don't need no more sleep. What else is there to do, right? Watch TV? Listen to podcasts? And we've got plenty of things for those of you not working, it's even worse. You guys are bored out of your mind. You're dealing with the kids. So, and that is a job in itself. All right. You know, for many, many years, I have talked that we are, you know, this show, all of you that listen know that if I ever say something on the show that causes my show to become demonetized, or if I'm deplatformed, you guys know that you can come over to geeknesscentral.com and find me. You know, I'm not going anywhere. That's where the show's going to be. And if you have a Twitter account and you're tweeting, people can go there to find you and go to Facebook and find you. But when you're on another platform, you are subject to what they allow or do not allow. And Facebook has come out publicly said that they're removing some events calling for protests of stay-at-home orders. So people are trying to organize on Facebook, and Facebook is removing those events from the platform. So events were planned in California, Nebraska, New Jersey, quote-unquote, violated protective measures imposed by the governors. So what Facebook has done is taken away your right to organize, to protest, to be able to have your voice be heard, or your sign, or to organize people to come out and protest something that may be going on in your state. Because the governor had said that you cannot organize, you cannot come out, you cannot protest. So Facebook has basically taken upon themselves to ban any event planning that was going on in Facebook and social media because it violated measures imposed by governors. Now, in my opinion, this is a very, this is censorship. So Facebook can't have it both ways, but they have. They basically said, you don't have a right to organize your protest on my platform. And again, it goes back to things I've been talking about for the last 15 years, is that this is why I promote having your own website, having your own brand, getting your own .com set up. So if someone's going to protest, set up a protest, they're going to have to go out and buy a domain. They're going to have to set up a website. They're going to have to put those functions in place so that they can organize there somewhere that they control, that a company like Facebook can't censor them. Should this come as a surprise? I think to this audience, it probably shouldn't come as a surprise. David says, cutting wood, raking the yard, building pens for our goats, farm life. David, here in Michigan, it's illegal for us to mow the grass. That's a violation of stay at home. No one's paying attention to it. Everybody's doing it. But Facebook, in their action today, is basically censoring. They say, unless government prohibits the event during this time, we will allow it to be organized. For the same reason, events that defy government guidance on social distancing are allowed on Facebook. We will ban it. The removals were first reported by the Washington Post. Dozen protests have taken place in various states in recent weeks. The small events have been marked by dozens or hundreds of protesters gathering in state capitals in front of governor's mansions to wave the American flags and hoist the signs that claim the protective measures have infringed on their rights. Now, some of these events, come on, if you're going to do an event, the cameras are going to be there. Social distance, wear a mask, and protest. Where people have huge criticism is when they don't. And I understand some people aren't going to wear a mask. They never will. So some state governments have asked people not to attend the protests as groups assembled without hearing the social distancing guidelines and could risk infecting more people and lengthening the state shutdown measures. That's why I said, follow the social distancing stuff. But Facebook has taken it upon themselves to say, you're not going to organize on our platform. What say you? Do you think this is cool? And Kim, I know you offered me to advertise your service by wearing a hat on the show. I'll take one of your hats anyway, dude. I'll wear one anytime. So I don't know. You know, I think some of this is we have a right. I understand we're in the middle of something, but it just goes to prove again, you do not own what's on Facebook. Facebook owns what's on Facebook, and Facebook's going to allow what they want to be done on Facebook, and anything that you do outside of their community guidelines will get you banned, shadow banned, blocked, 30-day recesses of using Facebook. So in the end, I think Facebook is going to, you know, this will be a wake-up call for some. Maybe some already know. But just because it is the only major platform where you can reach a lot of people easily, but maybe it's time for these organizers to get together and do a podcast and start their own website and so forth. So again, I'm not for or against the protest. I think people, again, while I am, if people want to protest, then they should be able to protest. At the same time, Facebook has introduced what they're calling their interactive COVID-19 map, displays symptoms by county. So you can actually now go in and enter a zip code and look at what's going on in your community. So let's see here. Let me load an interactive map. We'll get it loaded up here. It's probably overloaded. And let me see here. How can I find? Can I do by county? So let me go and click over here. See if we can get my region opened up. And what does it tell me? Percentage people with systems, 1.1% in the area that I live in. And I thought I was thought there was going to be a way that we could search by zip code. For those of you listening, you'll see this map, and it's basically broke out by regions. And it looks like this might be Nielsen. There's 299 Nielsen advertising regions in the country. And it looks to me like they have used Nielsen rating. So they basically taken their advertising platform and they're able to look at regions based upon how advertisers target areas. This is what this looks like, is the Nielsen map, because the area I'm looking at encompasses about 20 different counties. Let's see here. It says by counties. I thought there was more here that we could tell. I guess not. But in their post, it showed that you could search by zip code, which I was looking for, and there's not a zip code search there. But anyway, we'll look at this more. But anyway, Facebook is looking at where the infection rates are, where there's hot spots, or not infection rates. It's when people are basically saying, "I've got a sniffle, I've had a fever," not necessarily a test, but basically reporting symptoms, and it shows that information. So anyway, we'll see what this comes. So on one hand, they're blocking events, and the other things, they're reporting stuff in the best way that they can. So I'll let you guys play with this. Link will be up in the show notes, obviously. All right, so many of you, I got four of these yesterday. All of a sudden, late in the afternoon, because I've got an 808 area code, they think I'm on my cell phone. They think I'm in Hawaii. So late in the afternoon yesterday, my phone started ringing. And it was basically these odd messages. This is the COVID-19 response team. Please enter your da-da-da-da-da-da. So they're actually running scams right now to send alarming messages to dupe victims into handing over their social media accounts, social security numbers, financial credentials. Some claim to be from the IRS, CDC, or companies like Google looking for information, while others try to scare into buying fake testing kits. So I had four yesterday afternoon that came into my phone, and I listened to the messages, and they were definitely like trying to scam me out of something and making it sound like it was some COVID-19 official call. No one is going to call you and ask you, and we need to, those of you that listen to the show, you're good, but you need to warn anyone in your family that is susceptible to these calls. I've got a few in my family that are always sending out like the fake Facebook stuff. Like Facebook was going to be, you had to pay for Facebook. You had to take this action by a certain day for Facebook. I've got family members that kind of respond to some of this stuff. So they're the ones that you need to kind of like send them this link and say, hey, don't believe if someone calls you that they're from the CDC and they're trying to help you and telling you that you've got COVID-19. No. These scams are pretty obvious. Also, don't open any links to COVID-19 tests. There's currently no service for alerting people who may come into direct contact, so you're not going to get an email or voice message about that. If you receive random coupon codes or a special offer for discounted grocery services from an unknown number, that's fake. Just on and on and on here. Lots of phishing going on right now, along with a lot of attacks going on in computers as well. So make sure you have your antivirus up, your malware stuff up to date on your computer, because many of you are using your computers a lot more from home than you have in the past. Hey, Dan. Hey, Toby. Thanks so much for checking in and saying hello. Definitely appreciate you being here. moving on here, I got to back up. Microsoft is launching something called the PlasmaBot. It's going to recruit recovered COVID-19 patients to help treat sick ones. And this is basically to get them aligned, to get them connected so that they can get blood drawn where these antibodies that you will have if you had COVID-19, the antibodies in recovered patients may be an effective novel coronavirus COVID-19 treatment. So I don't know. We haven't heard from anybody from the Geek News Central family that's had COVID-19. If you had COVID-19 or you think you've had COVID-19, I'd love to have you drop me an email. If you suspect that you are asymptomatic, in other words, maybe had a little sniffle, maybe a fever, didn't feel quite right, went on for a couple of weeks, something was going on, maybe it happened in January, maybe, you know, early as December, or maybe even November. You know, if you had something you think was COVID-19, I'd love to hear an email from you. If you know you've been tested positive, love to hear from you as well, especially part of the Ohana. I want to hear what happened to you, how it went. I have not heard of anybody in this listening family yet say they personally had COVID-19. Some people know people that have had COVID-19. I know some people that are part of this family that had someone die, they had COVID-19. But again, what Microsoft is doing here is just trying to get the antibodies collected and giving this test. And you can actually give this test quite often. You don't have to not only give it once, you can give it a couple times a week because they don't take as much of the blood. So anyway, very, very cool what Microsoft has done there. And I'm sure if you've tested positive, your medical center might be reaching out to you to donate blood as well. Little space news, because the universe continues to move. We're still on a giant blue ball rushing through space. And science is still going on, still collection of data. Scientists have detected a rare crash of two mismatched black holes for the first time. They've collected data before of two black holes about the same size, but basically they had one that was about 10 times larger than like a 10-to-1 ratio that crashed together. So they're, you know, talking all about that, and the scientists and, you know, the astrophysicists are all going crazy. So, you know, congratulations to them. They've got something to work on here. But anyway, that made the news over at space.com. Now, I don't know how this article made the news, but when anytime I see something posted, you know, who really got some bad publicity? General Motors got some really, really bad publicity, right? So when a company gets lots of bad publicity, especially if they're a big company, they will get their PR people together and say, "Hey, we need some articles out there to prop us up, to make us look better, and not make us look like such a-holes that, you know, we may have been." So this article on CNET that came up today has me kind of suspicious. Because this is a story that's being run right now that makes absolutely no sense why it's being run today. So if I was a gambling man, in my personal opinion, I think this is a paid post. I think the GM PR machine put the, and I'm not going to go into the details of this. I'll read the headline, and that's all the credit I'm going to give it, because I think it is a paid PR piece. So here's the headline. By 2023, some General Motors facilities in Michigan will run 100% on renewables. So who does that appeal to? That makes people feel good. It makes the folks that are heavy on green, makes them feel good. It says GM's doing something. They'll be a big steward in the community. They're trying to do something positive. Why is this story running today? Why is this news? To me, when I read this, I'm like, And it really feels as if GM is trying, again, get their image out there. You know, they've been bad. They were supposedly bad and trying to resist on making ventilators and all this stuff until the administration threw the hammer at them. So you've got this article out here that is part of this PR feel good thing. And GM, we're such a good company. We're stewards, good stewards of the environment. This one stinks. This one really smells to me. So I didn't find it. Kirk did. He probably thought this is a great news article. But when I saw this, I'm like, their PR people are pushing, you know, it's a valid marketing tactic. You can't blame GM for doing it. But for me, it was kind of like, this one smells pay to play. Not saying that it is, just my kind of thought process. So Google's doing something interesting, and this is related to coronavirus. I think this is an article that ZDNet probably should have put out. It's not some article about GM being, you know, energy efficient, blah, 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 by 2023. Google rolls out Beyond Corp remote access for browser-based apps. This product has been rolled out as organizations figure out how to accommodate remote workers through the pandemic. So this was launched on Google Cloud, and it's a new cloud-based product, allows employees to securely access their company's internal web apps from any device or any location, but it's not a VPN. Over the last few weeks, we've had numerous conversations with customers about how we can help them adapt to new ways of working while keeping their data protected. Existing remote VPNs can be difficult to deploy for large numbers of workers at once, the blog post argues. Additionally, the natural perimeter-based security may be problematic when granting remote access to an extended workforce that includes contractors and temporary workers. So to address these problems, a new tool uses Beyond Corp's framework, a zero-trust approach to security that Google adopted for its own increasingly mobile workforce back in 2011. In contrast to traditional perimeter-based security systems, Beyond Corp relies on verification of contacts, like your identity and the device you're using, to grant access to apps. It does route all traffic through a proxy to determine the identity of a user and what external data they are allowed to access in the given context. For instance, the Beyond Corp remote access, an admin could set a specific policy for contract HR recruiters working from home on their own laptops, only granting them access to a web-based document management system if they're using the latest version of the OS, as well as phishing-resistant authentication. So we're seeing a lot of these products being rolled out. Can they deploy them during this time? Who knows? But again, as we continue to talk about what's happening during this pandemic, is that we will see over time ongoing innovation being done, which will potentially change the framework of how we all work going forward, because so much focus is on it. One of the negatives was today I had a Zoom meeting, and Zoom introduced a whole bunch of new security stuff because they've been people pinging into meetings they're not supposed to. So I basically say, hey, the host has got to invite you into the meeting. Well, I was about 5 minutes late, and they didn't know I was in the waiting room, and I was shouting out on different, and I finally had to call the guy. I said, hey, I'm in the waiting room trying to come in. You haven't allowed me in. And they had to let me in, but I was late to the meeting because of new security restrictions in Zoom. And I said, turn that shit off until we have a problem. Let's turn that stuff off. We don't need that for us. It's not like it's just company stuff. It's not like it's, you know, top secret information or anything. So it is to us, but if someone bops in, we're going to notice it because there are only four of us in a meeting. According to the BBC, Amazon's going to be using thermal cameras to detect COVID-19. Here's the why this is. Thermal imaging has been done in Japan and many other countries for years. You arrive on an international flight, you're walking into arrivals or to wherever you're going to get your passport checked, and there's a kiosk with two or three people in it looking at a thermal imaging at everyone coming in to make sure that you're not running a temperature. If you're running a temperature, they pull you to the side. This is smart for Amazon doing this. This should be in every airport in the United States going forward. As a matter of fact, I'll be very disappointed if it isn't. So you just pray you don't get a temperature, you don't get a fever on a flight because, you know, that's where, how can you be guaranteed to have a fever on a flight? become dehydrated, drink too much alcohol. You will probably be running a fever when you land somewhere. Drink lots of water when you fly. Stay away from the booze. But anyway, Amazon's introducing this in 50 of the Amazon warehouses in the United States. They should be everywhere. They should be in stores. You know, you want to help with this. You know, have an interest coming to a store and it thermal looks at you. And if you're running hot, you get sidelined. And they use the little temperature gauge on you, make sure that you're what temperature you are. And if you're running hot, they send you home. You're not coming in here. So we're going to be getting scanned going forward, I'm sure, going into businesses. But if I'm a thermal imaging company right now, it's time to make money. So I got two people in chat that thinks they may have had something. Yeah, Michael, I don't know if yours was that, but there's been all, this thing's got all kinds of crazy symptoms. Ted, you know, as much traveling as I did, I wouldn't doubt that I've had it, but who knows? No one else in my family got sick. So, and my mom's convinced, my sister's convinced she had it before, but it was real early. Uber, moving on here, Uber accuses, and this guy's name, Lewandowski. Uber accuses Lewandowski of fraud and is refusing to pay the $179 million Google judgment against him. So Uber already paid Google in their individual trial on that property, intellectual property stuff. But this actual prior employee of Google had his own $179 million judgment. And this guy is basically saying that Uber should pay. And Uber's saying no because he lied on his documents. I guess some of his employment documents or whatever. So someone's going to get some money. Or someone's going to be really, really broke for a long, long time. Speaking of Zoom, there's an article in New York Times. I guess I got a fresh 20 days here of access on New York Times because usually I run out of page views. But the New York Times is saying Zoom security woes were no secret to business partners like Dropbox. And this is crazy. Dropbox privately paid top hackers to find bugs in the software by the video conferencing company Zoom, then pressed it to fix them. Wow. So they basically paid hackers to find security vulnerabilities. That's not a new concept. It's actually one that if you find hackers that are ethical hackers, they're a great resource to test software. They really, really are. The hackers uncovered a major security vulnerability in the Zoom software on an airplane that could have allowed the attackers to covertly control certain users' Mac computers. It was precisely the type of bug that security engineers at Dropbox had come to dread from Zoom, and they basically let them know, and they fixed it. So Zoom came on really, really quick. It was really, really handy, but I didn't realize it was this buggy. So anyway, we have been getting a lot of Zoom updates as they continue to work on stuff. Whole Foods is reportedly using a heat map to track stores at risk of unionization. So if you're a union fan, Amazon is really watching their Whole Foods stores because they don't want any unionization. So they're looking at what they're calling risk factors. So the heat map uses more than 24 different metrics to track which Whole Foods store may unionize. The heat map focuses on monitoring three main areas: external risk, store risk, and team member sentiment. Here's an example of an external risk. This is a report by Business Insider. Some of the factors that contribute to external risk scores include local union membership size, distance in miles between the store and the closest union, number of charges filed with the National Labor Relations Board alleging labor law violations, and a labor incident tracker, which logs incidents related to organizing and union activity. Other external factors include the percentage of families within the store's zip code that fall below the poverty line and the local unemployment rate. Here's some store risk. Store risk metrics include average store compensation, average total store sales, and a diversity index that represent the racial and ethnic diversity of every store. Stores at a higher risk of unionizing have lower diversity. Listen to this. Stores at higher risk of unionizing have lower diversity and lower employee compensation, as well as higher total store sales and higher rates of worker compensation claims. And of course, team member sentiment. The sentiment data is pulled from internal employee surveys is likely to be the first score to improve based on your efforts. These measures assess employees' feedback on the quality and safety of their work environment and whether they feel supported and respected, among other things. External risks include things like the distance between the Whole Foods store and the closest union, charges filed with the National Labor Relations, blah, 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 blah. Same thing. So, interesting their take to try to prevent unionization. And they, Amazon has a history of aggressively combating unionization efforts, and its anti-labor stance has come to light due to recent organizing events or efforts by warehouse employees. So anyway, interesting here what they're doing. What do you think? A company this big, they can afford to employ those types of things to look at this stuff and make tweaks to their store compensation and everything else to try to prevent unionization. I guess if you want better benefits and better pay at a Whole Foods store, you just start talking about unionization a little bit. Kickstarter plans layoffs after new projects on the site drop by 35%. So an internal memo today that's like, it is likely going to lay off people. How many are they going to lay off? 60% of Kickstarter's 140 employees are unit members, and they successfully voted to unionize in February, making the first major technology company to do so. That's interesting. But they are going to do layoffs. How does that relate? Yeah, so it looks like they're going, so how many, probably 140, setting a small business, we're thinking of cutting. So they've only got 140 people on the payroll. I didn't know that. And they only had $1.27 million in after-tax profit. So they're reducing compensation of senior leaders, hiring cap. But yeah, some people are going to lose their jobs. When business drops 35%, it's only so much you can do. Faraday Future, remember this company? Faraday Future gets a $9 million government pandemic loan. So this was $9,176,800 as part of the Business Association Paycheck Protection Program. So that's pretty close to $10 million maximum allowed in the program. And the loan will be 100% forgiven as long as Faraday's Future uses payroll, interest on mortgages, rent, and utilities, and doesn't lay off any of the 400 and so employees for the next 8 weeks. So, wow. So 2 months of payroll for them. Meanwhile, hundreds of thousands of companies haven't got PPP loans because they ran out of money, and the House of Representatives continue to drag their feet on that funding. A little more tech news. Surface Go 2 features a larger 10.5-inch display and thinner bezels, more power, a larger display, and are some of the top billings for the Surface Go 2 that's supposed to come out this spring. If you're a Surface fan, link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. Fandango, you guys know Fandango, right? I've used Fandango a lot, use it for years, but Fandango is buying Vudu. Man, we talked about Vudu on this show for years. For years. One of our listeners just sent me a messenger. I'm not going to say who it is to keep his privacy correct. He says, hey, Todd, really bad headache, like a migraine for 2 days, dry, raspy cough for 4 days, fever of 100.4, loss of taste for 4 days, felt like someone was lying in my chest. I took a Z-Pack for 5 days and drank tonic water with quinine, but it took a total of 3 weeks to feel normal again. And oh, by the way, my wife had it too. He did not have a COVID-19 test, but feel he went through it. If I remember correctly, this individual lives in California. So you may want to go and get your antibody test. You and your wife should, if that's available. My mom weighed in here. I can say that. She feels the whole family had it before Christmas. So I guess the only way we're going to know is if people can get the antibody test to see if they've got the antibodies or not. But going back to Fandango buying Vudu, I had a Vudu box. Before, when you had to have a special box to get Vudu as part of a review unit, they gave me like a year's worth of videos. I think I watched 3 videos on it. It was bad at the time. It was really, really bad. And they had a huge opportunity. It was right about the same time that Roku was coming online and all these other devices. And but Fandango has bought Vudu's video service from Walmart. I guess they think it's probably true. Movie theaters are going to be in huge trouble. Huge trouble. No one's been going to the movies. All that revenue's lost. They got huge infrastructure cost. I think the landscape for movies is bad. So I think this is a good investment by Vudu. And what is the other individual saying that's on here? Close. Oh, he says the closest test is 180 miles away. Well, we will see if that changes. Probably not worth driving 180 miles to find out you had what you think you had already. But it does give you some that you may have immunity to anything going forward, so you can get out there and get going sooner. Might be worth it just from that aspect alone to say, yep, I've had it, and get back into doing what you're doing, which I know you do is very valuable to our country. IBM revenue has dropped 3% from a year ago in the last quarter. Surprise there. But, you know, here's what I'm going to think is going to happen with IBM and maybe even Intel. You know, there's a big rush on computers. So maybe their Lenovo division will do better. I don't know. We'll see. But Intel's definitely, I would think, would have a better quarter because a lot of people went out and bought computers to be able to work from home. Or their companies bought them one. I think we talked about this on the last show, but Hubble Space Telescope is celebrating your birthday, its birthday, as it turns 30. And NASA has posted some stuff it spotted on its birthday. And so it's pretty amazing here that Hubble's been in orbit for 30 years. Exploring the universe 24 hours a day, and we are still a few years away from the James Webb Telescope being launched to basically take over for Hubble. Well, not take over because Hubble's got many years of operation left, but basically step up and do more exploring. It's going to be exciting when that actually happens. We're going to have some cool space news come from that. Office 365 is now Microsoft 365. Doesn't change too much. So the personal plan is $6.99 a month or $69.99 a year, while the family plan is $9.99 per month or $99 a year. I've got the family plan. Both include Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook, plus Access and Publisher on Windows only. In addition to always having the latest versions of the Office apps, you get 1 terabyte of OneDrive storage and 60 minutes of Skype credit every month. If you're an existing Office 365 subscriber, your plan changes to Microsoft 365 as of April 21st. You don't need to do anything. You won't experience any disruption. So it's just a change in names. So still feel a need to use Microsoft. I like this, the regular tools on the desktop, not anything that's virtual. Google's Meet Video, I didn't even know about this. Google's Meet Video app gets Gmail integration. That company says 2 million new users a day were added recently as demand for video meeting ramps up among the G Suite users. So Meet, it is the rebranded version of Hangouts. Meet is available part of Google's G Suite, which now has 6 million paying business customers. I am a G Suite paying business customer. As a matter of fact, I have Raw Voice has an account. I have a couple of accounts as well for my stuff. So I have to check that out. So Google Meet video app, if you're a G Suite user, is available for you to use as well. One thing I haven't had success in recently is using Slack video. I've tried to do a couple of Slack video calls, and it hasn't worked out real well, so I don't know what's going on there. Facebook is revealing a gaming app to rival Twitch and YouTube. So Facebook's launched a dedicated gaming app earlier than planned. It said the accelerated launch was a direct response to COVID-19. The app lets users follow high-profile gamers, which watch live gaming streams and leave comments while interacting with the rest of Facebook. It also lets gamers broadcast their own smartphone screen. While Facebook remains the largest social network, it has struggled to compete against dominant players Twitch and YouTube when it comes to game streaming and esports. So it's up until now, Facebook's gaming brand has been accessible as a tab inside the main Facebook app as an independent website. The company said the standalone app was focused gaming only experience. The app, which has been tested in Asia and Latin America for about a year and a half, was launched on Google Play App Store on Monday. A version of the Apple iOS is still to follow. So if you like watching e-gaming, this is a new thing from Facebook. They got a long ways to go. Twitch is still pretty much king. The quarter one 2020 global VC report, of course, funding is slowed by impact of coronavirus. And it's been a long time coming. For the last 2 years, we experienced a bull run in funding for startups. Per Crunchbase data, 2018 was the peak year for global investment, with 2019 the second highest for invested dollars. And, of course, against this backdrop of unprecedented funding spending in the last 24 months, with more than 25,000 startups funded annually, and this will be a big downturn by this. By Crunchbase's counts, 5,000, 7,000 startups per quarter dependent on venture funding to grow are immediately impacted. Startups in the last mile, mobility, travel, hospitality, and other sectors have seen their markets wiped out overnight. Reports are circulating of crisis fundraising to stave off bankruptcy by unicorn startups with business models geared for growth. So I'm very, very happy as a, you know, we're not a startup anymore, but we're still lean and mean. And I'm just going to knock on wood at this point. We're still doing okay. So as a business, that's all you can hope for is have the customers coming in, paying their bills. And we've had some impact, some customers that are, you know, financially impacted. We've been, you know, helping where we can. And but I'm telling you, it's good to not be dependent upon venture capital money. It's just, you know, every time that I've talked to anyone about investment, they're willing to write big checks. You know, I've had companies come in and say, I'll write you a six-figure check, seven-figure check. And it always comes with so many hooks and constraints that I say, I really don't need your money. I get to a point where the risk of taking someone's venture funding and giving up too much percentage of the company and then having them be bearing down on you night and day to make growth numbers, it's just not a stress point that I need. You know, if we ever have an investor come around that we find is a good match and isn't going to be one of those overbearing parent relationship type of things where they're going to come in and put their thumb on us, you know, we would probably take money, but it's going to take a special type of investor for us. So, you know, the venture capitalists, they're looking turn and burn. And if you don't turn, you burn out of money, you're done. All the companies I competed against in the early days, they all took venture capital. They're all gone. All of them are gone that took venture in the early days in the space I work in. So not saying VCs are all evil, but if you don't make the returns they want to dump you. And you better be sustainable. COVID-19 scammers may have stolen millions from the German government. Fraudsters took advantage of Western region's lack of identity verification. Oh, surprise, surprise. Financial aid after a province failed to properly check the identity of applicants. The cyber criminals used a classic phishing scheme. First, they create a copy of the official website used by the North Rhine Westafa province to distribute coronavirus aids into business and self-employed folks. Then they launched an email campaign to lure users to the phony website and steal their credentials. Finally, scammers requested financial aid on behalf of those individuals while using their own bank accounts. So 576 official fraud reports with payments between 9,000 and 25,000 euros. And they feel that they may have lost between 31 to 100 million euros, around 34 to 109 million US dollars. Boy, scammers will do whatever they can. That's a big amount of money. FBI has seen cybercrime report increase fourfold during COVID-19 outbreak. The FBI says hackers have a special interest in COVID-19 research. And they're getting 3,000 to 4,000 cybersecurity complaints every day, up from an average of 1,000 complaints per day the center saw before COVID-19. Newly remote workers unaware of basic security measures of companies struggling to keep externally accessed systems secure. That's the big problem. I just knock on wood. I've been able to work remote for years. My team has got good security implemented. Nothing is foolproof, but gosh, I'm just glad that we were never in a situation where we had to just kind of like make shit up as we go to be able to get people to work remote. Yeah, my employees took their computers home, took their monitors home, took their chairs home, set up, back in business. Nothing changed. Do we still credentialize? We still access the stuff we had through the same. We had to white label a few IPs in the firewalls, but still, we're in good shape. Knock on wood. Hope we didn't miss any holes, but all these companies are trying to get people to work remote, never have done it before, not antiquated systems. It's amazing. The iPhone 12 may launch now in November. So that's some rumors. It could be delayed as late as 2021. I'm going to be in the need of a new phone this summer, so I guess I'm going to have to wait. Uber's reviving its product deliveries with person-to-person connect trial. So they're returning to good delivery business due to coronavirus. So the move is a bid to boost revenues at a time where people are using its existing ride-hailing and food-offering services less. The Financial Times reports the company will be trialing two new initiatives, Direct and Connect, an offering that echoes the goods delivery service originally launched back in 2015. So what are they going to do? Uber Direct, essentially a refresh take on its previously delivery service, will open for retailers and other businesses that want to get goods to customers as soon as possible. Initial partners include New York pharmacy brand Cabinet, Australian pet food maker Pet Barn, and Portugal Postal Service CTT. Uber Direct will also be used to deliver medication in South Africa in partnership with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So I guess if you want to order some shoes, you're still going to have to do it online. But maybe we'll have more product deliveries. In many countries, there is no Amazon in some countries. You have to go to the store. This was reported last week, but this is a new ruling. Remember we talked about the Jedi IG report, where Amazon was complaining about Microsoft? Well, a U.S. judge put Amazon's challenge to the Pentagon's Jedi deal into a force stasis. So, U.S. federal judge Patricia Campbell-Smith has slapped a hold on Amazon's legal challenge to the $10 billion Pentagon Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure contract to give the military time to reconsider aspects of the procurement in the mega contract. So, this new order was made on Friday and was filed at the weekend, puts AWS challenge to the deal being awarded to Microsoft on ice until at least 17 August, although a review is delivered sooner, the date will be amended. I thought they already delivered the IG report. I guess there's more to it. LG is teasing the new 5G Velvet phone with the raindrop camera. So if any of you are LG fans, this thing's crazy what it looks like. It's got four little cameras on it. So it's powered by Snapdragon 5G 765. Also got a list of Android phones, best Android phones in 2020. I've got an Android phone I'm going to have to upgrade here soon because we're testing some stuff. So the Samsung Galaxy S20 is a nice one. The OnePlus 8 Pro, I'll probably get a budget phone, a Moto G Pro Power, something like that. But anyway, a list of the best phones out there available for Android, as well as third-party app store Apt Oid, A-E-P-T-O-I-D-E, just suffered a massive hack as details of 20 million users turn up online. And the team wants to reassure all users that passwords are encrypted. So I didn't even know about this database. I didn't know about this third-party app store, Aptoid. I guess that's it. That's all I've got. I do have an email that came in for the show. And did anybody else lose audio? Someone said they did. Michael said he lost audio. 1, 2, 1, 2. It's still going out. At least on my end, it's going out. All right, let me look here. GNC comments. So one of our listeners, Richard, talked about the Corona tracing app. And Richard says, yes, I would use it in a heartbeat. As a FedEx driver, I'm around people all the time and have worried whether I've been around someone with the virus. The local Amazon warehouse has had 3 or 4 people that have confirmed positive. I'd love to know if I've came in contact with them. I've never had any symptoms, but you really never know. Hope this helps, Richard. So thanks for your thought. I got an email from Edward. He says, hey, Todd, I've been researching tech blogs to reach out to and stumbled across your video on Tesla delivers 1,156 ventilators in episode 1439. I thought it was awesome. Given your experience in the tech space, I'd love to hear your thoughts on my platform. I'll have to look here. He gives me the address, and I haven't looked at this yet, so I need to. He says, no worries. If not, I totally understand. I'm just trying to get some feedback from people in industry. Plus, I'm sure you get a lot of these emails. Either way, keep up what you're doing. So let me load this up and let's see what he's doing here. So it's called CrowdPip. And the title is, what do you need help with? So let me type in something here. Oh, it's got a limited number of articles. So let me type A, like A/B testing, accounting, admin support, algebra tutoring. So let's click on algebra tutoring and search. And what does it come up with here? So as a list of people that provide tutoring help, I guess. So this is basically a source of people that have certain types of skills. So it's interesting here. I know, we'll have to look at it. We'll have to look at your site. But thanks for reaching out. Anybody wants to look it up, it's called crowdpip.com. So Edward, thanks for your reach out. That's the way to do it, my friend. That's how to send an email asking for a little bit of information. What was the last one here? I don't know if we read this on the last. Oh, I didn't read this. It's from Greg. He said, I would not use an app to alert me about being near infected people, despite all the assurances I've heard in the tech podcast. I simply do not trust these big corporations to truly safeguard my privacy or to refuse government pressure to invade my privacy. My objections being with the distress of security of Bluetooth itself. Why expose my phone to hackers when I don't use Bluetooth? Why constantly waste my battery broadcasting my presence? I don't see the need to take my phone with me everywhere. To top it off, there are doubts that this type of tracking would be effective. The Bluetooth communication capability is not necessarily related to virus propagation. Well, we know that. I could become infected if an infected person sneezes on something that I touched several hours later, but we were never close to each other. I could be falsely concerned that an infected person was outside my car, but we never came in contact. I would also have concerns about a weekly test of bodily fluids. Who is to say they will only test for the prevalence of COVID-19? Mission creep is a real thing. Now that they have all these samples, why not check for STDs, recreational drugs, et cetera, et cetera? My wife likes the Impossible Burger. I doubt that it is any healthier than meat or any better for the environment. So, Greg, thanks for your feedback. And I think that's who I... Nir, did you get any contact from GoDaddy? Did you hear from them? Let me know if you did or did not. Please do. Okay, so Michael said, hey, I just had an old package with one dust mask left in my garage. Just took it out. It's an N95. But HDX from Home Depot is usually poor quality in personal experience. I have one N95 mask, too. It's sitting on my desk 10 feet away. I haven't used it. Bandanas and, you know, whatever else we can use for a face mask. All right. So what I'm going to do is we're at the end of the show. I want to thank all of you for listening. The contact here is geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, we want to thank you for your ongoing support of the sponsor. But I do want to remind you here that we do have an insider program at geeknewscentral.com/insider. If you feel so inclined, we do like it when you sign up for a monthly contribution of $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25. We definitely could use a lot more people at the $25 level, but I'd be happy if you are just at the $2 level. Your ongoing contributions go directly back in the show. Every penny that comes in on the Insider program is applied against the Kirk's contracting fee for doing the pre-production for the show and post-production work, along with the writers and maintaining of the website. Nothing comes to me personally out of the contribution. It's all completely transferred over to my team. So if you feel like becoming an insider, geeknewscentral.com/insider. One-time donations are always appreciated as well. And as a reminder, if you want a Geek News Central sticker, we've got those available too. We do a sticker exchange. I'll send you some stickers back. I'll actually send you a little value pack for any time you send me a sticker, or, you know, if you do it, you know, do a special donation, let me know, and we'll make sure you get some stickers for the show. I've got some real cool 3x3-inch ones right now as well. So, you know, I appreciate when you do sell a self-addressed envelope to me, and I'll, you know, send that back. Just let you know, we do appreciate all of you that are insiders of the show currently, and those of you that would consider being so as well. For the rest of you, for the rest of the audience that's listening, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast next Thursday on week 6 of the show, of the lockdown it is.